I am so inspired by these people, and they are the greatest strength. You know, so it's not a, you know, you have that memory, you have that moment. I've had it where even just today I was, you know, breastfeeding, tired, and thinking, God, I really don't know how I'm going to get myself together to be thinking for this interview. But you think, Jesus, the things these people go through, I owe it to all of them to get myself together, to stop whining about being tired and get there and get focused. And because, God, it's the least I can do with what they live with and what they can, you know, they pull themselves out of the most horrible despair, and they're able to smile and get on with it and survive. And so you don't, it's that same thing. You don't think, poor me, what I've seen. You just think, like, Jesus, thank God I'm not experiencing it.
Right. The first time you went to a refugee camp, what was that like?
God, it was Sierra Leone, so it was a different kind of a camp. It wasn't a, it was, they were still having civil war, and mm-hmm. and it was kind of just this area of people who had been, who had had their limbs cut off from the violence, and it was an amputee camp, and it was probably to this day the worst camp I've ever seen. And I knew I was changing as a person. I was learning so much about life, and I was, so in some ways it was the best moment of my life because
right.
it changed me for the better, and I was never going to be, never going to want for more in my life or be.
I mean, how did it change you?
I was very focused on myself, on my career, on my life, on this, you know, we have so much and we want for other things and we don't realize how grateful we should be about things. I'd been, done things, you know, like most teenagers, you know, hurting myself or doing things, you know, all these things you take your own life for granted. And then suddenly you see these people who are really fighting something, who are really surviving, who have so much pain and loss and things that you have no idea. As soon as I got to a phone, I called my mom and just told her how much I loved her. I was so grateful I knew where she was. I was so grateful I knew where my brother was. But that it just changed everything.
Right. And then how do you come back? I mean, it's got to be, it's always, I found it always a hard thing. Once you're there and you see that and your eyes are open and your heart is open and your mind is open, and then you come back, and especially, I mean, in this world that you live in, right. it's got to be such a strain, it's got to be surreal.
By the time I got on the plane and on the way home, I didn't, I knew that I would somehow commit to doing something with these people in my life, and I knew that that would be the only way to settle it in myself.
You know? And why refugees? Of all the things, I mean, there's so many causes around the world, there's so many problems, why is it you're focusing on a problem which is almost intractable. I mean, there have always been refugees, internally displaced people. There almost likely will always be.
When I went to Cambodia, and I learned a lot about the situation there and the refugees there, but I got this book on the UN because I really like the idea of the UN. I know it's not perfect, but I loved what it stood for. And so I got a book on the UN, and I was reading about it, and then I got this chapter on refugees, and it said almost 20 million people are displaced, and it showed pictures of Rwanda and pictures of all. And I was just shocked. I thought, how is that possible that I've known nothing about this, and I'm 20-something years old, and there are this many people displaced in the world. So I knew that it was something that had to be discussed, and wasn't being discussed. And then the more I read about it, the more I just thought, they really are the most vulnerable people in the world. They really don't have an option for. It's not just that they're poor. It's not just that they're hungry. It's not just that. It's that they are in fear of for their lives. They're going to be persecuted for their race, their religion, their nationality. They don't have the protection of their own country. They're somewhere uprooted without any protection, with their families, relying on somebody to open their doors for some place for them to lay their head down or get some food or something, and they may not be able to return home for decades.
And it's totally out of their control. I mean, I've always found that when you, it's almost that term, refugees, you kind of make assumptions about who they are, but in fact they are, I mean, they are everyone. We all could be refugees at one point or another in our lives, and all of a sudden to have that lack of control is, I always just find such a sad thing.
Yeah, and I think that happened with the Balkans. I think a lot of people suddenly saw refugees that looked like them, and it was a different thing. It was a new thing.
Do you go through phases? Where, I mean, when I first went to Somalia in the early 90s during the famine, I remember being overwhelmed, and then I felt like I was going through phases the more wars I would go to, you know, of anger, and then, you know, confusion, and then outrage, and then sort of resignation, and then sort of an open feeling that allows me to continue doing it. But do you go through those phases?
I did. I don't know which phase I'm in now, but I did. I went through a definite phase of being, I think just shocked at first, and then I wanted to save the world, and I was sure I could save the world, and then I was, and then I did feel hopeless and just angry.
A doctor in Niger said to me, who with this group, Doctors Without Borders, which I'm a big fan of, said, you know, he tells the nurses not to cry in front of the mothers. He said that's not your job. That you're, you know, if you want to cry, go cry somewhere in a corner, but don't, you can't do it in front of the mothers because it's not fair to them, because then they'll worry about what's going to happen to my kid, which I just found, I don't know, it's always sort of stayed with me.
I kept a journal for the, I still do when I go into the field, and I think part of it was just me being able to do this and not look at the, you know,
yeah, it helps,
not
sometimes.
Cry.
It makes it easier.
I'm
sometimes.
Working.
Yeah, I believe, yeah, I know that feeling. I also read the statistic, which I know you know, is that a child is orphaned every 14 seconds, which is just, again, it just, it's hard to wrap your mind around.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. And that's another thing that we've been recently fighting for, you know, all the AIDS orphans and all the kids that are out there. Cause
right, you were very supportive of a bill that actually passed and got signed by the president, but then wasn't funded for a long time. Has it been funded?
It was one of my first lessons in Washington. It was like, oh, a bill, I'm pushing for a bill, the bill passed, success, and then somebody said, and now the funding. And I thought, that was the whole...
And it's still not
but
funded.
But you realize that, no, that's, you know, first they make it a priority to do it, and then I don't, there are a lot of people that are going to come together, and I'll spend more time in Washington, try to raise this funding and hope that the funding doesn't come from somewhere else.